Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 25th of October, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and a big shout out to our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe up in Gila County. And then there's KAPR AM 930 in Douglas covering Cochise County. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com along with an archive of previous programs. We have at least the last 2 weeks' programs up there. And if you need something, well, a little bit further back, we could probably arrange that too. But anyway, the Buckmaster Show can also be heard at TucsonSentinel.com. The Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. By the way, all of our archives are on the website. Thank you very much. That's why I pay Rosemary Brandt, my producer, the big bucks to catch those little things. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. Today's lineup includes a leadoff newsmaker interview. State Senator Paula Aboud is with me in studio. Then certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. He has his usual Tuesday Moneymaker report at about 20 minutes past the hour. 30 minutes past the hour, Arizona Corporation Commission former chair Chris Mays will join us. Then we'll close out the show with the two authors of a fantastic new art history book. This is a beautiful book focusing on the life and legacy of Navajo artist Quincy Tohoma. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line. That number is 790-2040, or you can call anywhere from North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And remember, if you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear me interview, we encourage you to contact us. Now, we're going to talk about flat tax to start the Buckmaster Show. If you think the idea of a flat tax on income is a good idea because it sounds fair and very simple, you might want to listen very carefully to the next 10 minutes or so, and you might very well want to attend one in a series of forums in November being hosted by State Senator Paula Aboud, a Democrat from Tucson, who joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Senator, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Glad to be here. Thank you.
You know, it sounds like you hear flat tax. Oh, great. This is equality. This is good for everybody. Not so.
Well, not so. And really, people don't know what a flat tax is. And so they just hear the sound bites from the supporters of it that say simple and fair, and people just assume that it is. The fact is, it's absolutely the exact opposite of that. This flat tax, and there's a flat tax at the national level, but what I'm talking about is a flat tax bill that almost passed in the Arizona State Legislature. It was going to raise taxes on 88% of Arizonans, and that was as per the Arizona Department of Revenue. So,
and you know, Senator, I really didn't know much about the flat tax until we started talking. And to me, on the surface, I'm sure I'm like a lot of people, it sounds like a great idea. I really didn't know what it's about, and that's why I wanted you to come on the program today to tell us what the deal is here and why you oppose it. And tell me something. So this will be on the ballot next year? Is that where this is going?
Well, that's a great question. The fact is if the flat tax passes in the legislature, it will not be voted on by the public. That the sponsor has made this bill revenue neutral. It's going to take 8 out of 9 people to have a tax increase to equal the same tax cut for the wealthy.
Yeah, I know. You sent along this chart to me, which I couldn't believe it. You've got here the winners and losers, really up to
$100,000,
you look at what your average tax is now, and then you look like, what you'll be paying with the average flat tax, and the change continues. Just it keeps, well, there's a percentage increase all the way from a big percentage if you make under $10,000, but then it decreases over $100,000.
It's a tax cut. It's a tax cut for wealthy Arizonans.
So who's pushing this?
There is a sponsor in Mesa, Steve Court. I think this piece of legislation came out of the National Conservative Organization, ALEC, that promotes a conservative agenda. And the legislators, conservative legislators, go to this conference and they get the legislation that's being pushed at a national level and they bring it back. So this flat tax bill almost passed this year. It was stopped by the Arizona Association of Realtors, because the mortgage interest deduction was going to be eliminated. Now, that mortgage interest deduction helps not just realtors, not just home builders, but home buyers. They're able to deduct their interest on their taxes. This was going to eliminate that. Now, our economy is so terrible these days because of the housing industry and the construction industry. So this was going to be a stake in the heart of another industry that's trying to regain its footing in Arizona.
Will this generate any new revenue? Would that be a positive?
Not one nickel. This bill, and this is why the public can't vote on it, they've made the bill revenue neutral. So no new dollars come to the state. And if no new dollars come to the state, then it's not necessary for the public to vote on it. So most of the public is completely unaware that 88% of the people are going to have their taxes increased if this bill passes. So the excitement for me when I recognized that the sponsor pulled the bill because he couldn't pass it because of the realtors, he's going to make a deal with the realtors and bring the bill back. But I've got 6 months to try to educate the public. And so I've created a series of forums around Tucson, southern Arizona, actually into Cochise County.
Right, and folks in Cochise County do listen to the Buckmaster Show out of Douglas, or they pick it up over KVOI. So I do want to quickly go over some of these events that you have. Thursday, November 3rd, that's the next flat tax forum. That's in northwest Tucson, 7 to 8:30 in the evening. St. Mark's Church, 1431 West McGee. Also, Senator, in Benson, Sunday, November 13th, our friends in Benson listening to the Buckmaster Show are urged to go to the Cochise College campus in Benson.
In Benson.
Yeah, from 2:30 in the afternoon to 4, and then Monday, November the 14th in West Tucson, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Most Holy Trinity Parish on North Greasewood. You're also going to be in Yuma on Friday, November the 18th. You've been doing these forums. You've had some pretty good attendance.
Well, in a thunderstorm in Tucson, our first forum had 200 people just jamming into the room. This is a hot subject. People know that all the charitable deductions were going to be eliminated to churches and nonprofits. And what's so egregious about this particular fact is for the last 3-4 years, as the budget cuts have happened, the Republicans have been saying, we don't have any money, go to your churches and your nonprofits. And so now to drop this bomb on churches and nonprofits that they're going to lose the tax deduction for them is going to devastate those services and services to our public.
Charitable deductions, as you say, eliminated. Mortgage interest deductions eliminated. Medical expense write-offs.
That's huge for seniors who are able to deduct most of their medical expenses and not pay taxes as we, you know, and it's not just seniors, it's the disability community as well.
Military veterans would be affected?
Military pay is currently not taxed. This was going to tax military pay. Veterans and state retirement pensions, the first $2,500, that was not taxed. This bill eliminated that, and now all of the pensions will be taxed.
So the game plan for some that are pushing this is to get legislative approval in the 2012 upcoming session that begins in January, so it would not have to go to the voters.
Absolutely. It's not going to the voters. And so why I'm sponsoring the forums is to ask the public to get educated and then go and call or email your state legislator and ask them to vote no on this. Unless people out there want to raise taxes on 8 out of 9 people, please ask your legislators to not support the flat tax in Arizona.
And where did this come from, other than this lawmaker from the East Valley who was pushing it? What's the genesis of this? Has it been pushed in other states?
Well, we can see that as we watch the national agenda of the Tea Party or the conservative Republicans that are running for president, they're starting to talk about the flat tax. This is the 999 from Herman Cain. We had Steve Forbes 17 or 18 years ago talking about a flat tax. This is slowly seeping into the public's consciousness, and they're trying to slip this in and fool people.
Because the name flat tax sounds like, again, equality.
Sounds like equality. And you know who it's equal for? It's equal. It's not equal for anybody. It just helps the rich pay less taxes, and it puts the burden once again on the middle class. Now, the millionaires in this state should not be getting charity from Arizona. They should be giving charity.
And the Arizona Republic, they came out, actually it was last May, right after the legislative session, the editorial said the Senate should reject the unfair flat tax bill. But you predict, State Senator Paula, about that after the session begins, that this will be surfacing with probably the first initial batch of legislation that will be coming out of Phoenix.
This sponsor really likes this bill. And I, you know, you hear all the facts. We present all the facts. We present as many sides as we can. And people still want to say, why is this sponsor doing this? And
at your forums, you do present both sides.
Well, we talk about it. And, you know, I'm going to invite the sponsor to each of these forums and hope that he'll come. But in committee, I asked him, why are you running this bill that doesn't give us a nickel and puts a huge burden on middle class? He says, it sounds like a great idea. I've always wanted to do it.
Okay, State Senator Paula Bowden, and we should point out that you're one of the ranking members of the Appropriations Committee, is
I
that?
I am.
Yes,
the ranking.
As well. Okay, Thursday, November 3rd, Northwest Tucson, the Flat Tax Forum, 7 to 8:30. In the evening at St. Mark's Church, 1431 West McGee, and also November the 13th, Sunday in Benson at Cochise College, 2:30 to 4 p.m., and then Monday, November 14th, West Tucson, Most Holy Trinity Parish on North Greasewood, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Senator Abboud, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much.
Coming up now on 1217 on the Buckmaster Show, the Moneymaker Report. Speaking of money, we've just been talking about flat taxes. How about Shelley Fishman? He's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday edition. Stay with us. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Firo Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Firo Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Firo Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at firoamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, 12:21 on the Buckmaster Show, and here he is with the Moneymaker Report every Tuesday. It is Shelley Fishman, who is on the road.
Yep, I'm in Phoenix.
He's up in Phoenix. Shelley, how are you?
Good, Bill. How are you today?
Doing real well. We just were talking with State Senator Paula Aboud. She's been hosting these flat tax forums. Are you up to speed on all of that? Have you taken some kind of a stand yet?
Oh, you bet. I think flat tax is about the worst thing for the middle class you can imagine. The flat tax is a tax cut for people who don't need a tax cut. The only way to make flat tax work is to do it in different steps, and then it's not flat.
Well, Paula Aboud will be very happy as she's listening to the Buckmaster Show in her car, because she wanted me to ask you right off the bat about the flat tax, and now, Shelley, you are on record. Shelley, I know that you have been following some of the columns that David Brooks, a New York Times columnist, he's been writing. Actually, he's been commenting for a couple of years now on this, what is considered non-rational thinking and its effects on the economy. And I know it inspired you, actually. You wrote about this particular subject for some of your colleagues.
Well, actually, about 2 years ago, David Brooks wrote an article in which he was discussing a new book that had been published. The author was Jonah Lehrer, and it was called How We Decide. And in the book, Mr. Lehrer talked about the fact that most of us make decisions based upon primitive circuitry in our brains, not rational stuff in our brains, that most of the decision-making we make is emotional rather than rational. And so I started doing research, and this has been going on for about a decade now, of people researching neuroscience and the science of why we are not as rational as human beings as we think we are. And I did write an article. It was published in the Financial Planners Association Journal just this past June edition on why non-rational thinking affects the relationships that advisors have with their clients. But it gets started when I read this article by David Brooks a couple of years ago. And then last Thursday, David Brooks wrote another article called Who You Are, And he was again discussing a new book that is about to be published. The author of the book is Daniel Kahneman, and he is really the first neuroscientist to relate the findings specifically to the financial community and to the investment community, and talk about the various biases that we have as investors. And by the way, when he says investors, he means not only you and me who are investing our money, but professional money managers. And his conclusions are rather stark, that we are all subject to these non-rational, he would call them irrational, biases, and that as a result, we think we are performing best for our clients and that we are outperforming the markets. As a general matter, however, the statistics flip that completely over, and you find out that we're about as good as stock picking and outperforming markets over the long term as monkeys throwing darts at a board.
The old throw the darts at the board to pick
right.
The stocks. And you mentioned Daniel Kahneman, who happened to have a really good quite a lengthy piece in the Sunday Times, New York Times, called Don't Blink, The
right.
Hazards of Confidence. Really a good piece.
Yeah, and what he's talking about here is, and this is a massively condensed version of this book that I believe is going to be published in the next couple of weeks, is that as good a job as you try to do, as much statistical analysis as you try to use, as much historical perspective as you try to bring, as a matter of fact, in markets which are generally they're perfect in that we know about everything that's happening in markets, now, unless you're an insider, in which case you have knowledge that you're not allowed to use when you're trading, but otherwise the markets have priced into every trade, every stock, everything that is known about that stock. Now, that's the theory, and that would say that if that's the case, every stock should be properly priced at its current level. But we know that's not why people trade. People think that a stock is underpriced, so they want to buy it, or overpriced, so they want to sell it. However, when you think about that, what it really means is that if I want to sell a stock that I think is overpriced, there's somebody who wants to buy that from me, because they think it's underpriced. And so when you put all of this together, what you wind up with is the conclusion that, well, there might be some star performers, especially in the area of mutual fund managers, over a short period of time. In the long run, nobody gets to outperform the market. And so if that's true, and I believe it is true, then your best bet is to invest in the index itself, rather than try to beat the index. And there are ways of doing that, of course, in today's portfolio.
So as a certified financial planner, Shelley Fishman, this whole idea about this using this non-rational basis, how do you avoid that, using the non-rational basis and not getting emotional?
Well, you have to recognize that it exists, that it's not only normal, but it is really key to our survival. I mean, this wiring in our brains has helped us to thrive as a species. And so what I do with my clients, and what I think is so important, is to recognize the non-rational biases that exist in every conversation. Find out what it is about the conclusions of those non-rational biases that provide delight or something meaningful for that client. You do that by the use of empathic communications, by the use of empathy, and then figure out how in your communications with the client and how in your joint decision-making you can, in fact, create the same feeling of satisfaction and comfort that you would if you had simply acted on the impulse.
Makes sense to me. Shelley Fishman, where can folks get a hold of you?
795-7950. Or on my website at www.shelleyfishman.com.
And you're at Pyramid.
Yes, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, four branches, and it's just a great place to work and a great place to bank.
Shelley Fishman, have a great afternoon and a safe trip back to Tucson. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great week.
All right. Coming up now on 30 Minutes Past the Hour on the Buckmaster Show, Chris Mays, former chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission, is coming up next.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Inmates at a prison in eastern Turkey have reportedly been rioting after being panicked by a strong aftershock from Sunday's big earthquake. The plaza in front of the city hall in Oakland, California is clear after police moved out about 170 anti-Wall Street demonstrators who had been camping there for the past couple of weeks. About 75 people were arrested. European Union leaders will not be signing off on a plan for fixing the continent's debt crisis tomorrow. That's the word from officials in Brussels. A meeting of finance ministers that was to have been held before the summit has now been called off. Updating Wall Street, the Dow is down about 156 points, the NASDAQ off 49, the S&P 19 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at assistanceleaguetucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
It's 12:33 on the Buckmaster Show, in the home of the Buckmaster Show, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, and our simulcast partners in Douglas and in Globe. And we've pretty much got Southern Arizona covered from one end to the other, as the Buckmaster Show is heard in 8 of Arizona's 15 counties. Last month, the Arizona Supreme Court upheld a challenge by the Goldwater Institute to the state's renewable energy standard adopted by the Arizona Corporation Commission, which means state utility regulators are free to require utilities to buy or generate power from solar, wind and other sources, even if that costs their taxpayers more. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line from Phoenix is Chris Mays, a senior sustainability scholar in the Global Institute of Sustainability at ASU. She is also a professor of practice at ASU in the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law, where she is director of the program on law and sustainability. From 2003 to 2010, she served on the Arizona Corporation Commission, where as chair, she co-authored Arizona's ambitious renewable energy and energy efficiency standards. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing great. It's great to be with you again.
Thanks a lot. How do you like your new position up there at ASU?
I love it, Bill, even though it's that university up to the north of you guys.
But yeah, that place, that's up the road somewhere.
His name won't be spoken.
Right.
I do love it. It's a great place to be. It's a wonderful opportunity to teach law students about renewable energy and the law and talk about a lot of issues that are so important to all of us right now. But it's a great place to be, for sure.
Chris, the day after that Arizona Supreme Court decision came down in late September, we had Goldwater attorney Clint Bolick with us on the Buckmaster Show, and he was not a happy camper, Chris.
Well, it's never fun to lose a big case like that, I'm sure. But I, however, was a happy camper, and I know that many, many, many Arizonans were as well. It was, frankly, a great victory for the state of Arizona, and something that will ensure that future generations of Arizonans have the opportunity and the right to consume cleaner energy. And frankly, will ensure that future Arizonans and future ratepayers will pay less money to their utilities overall, because we will have a safer, more reliable, more secure, and less volatile supply of energy being used and produced by our utilities. And that's why we did it, Bill. That's why the Arizona Corporation Commission passed the renewable energy standards. That's why we told our utilities they needed to balance out their energy portfolios and, frankly, use less coal and less natural gas, because those are volatile and sometimes expensive, increasingly expensive forms of energy.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a question about renewable energy for Chris Mays, former chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission, give us a call on the Buckmaster Show live line. Let's go over, Chris, some of the things Mr. Bolick said in his 10-minute conversation with me. And basically, he said the legislature, the state legislature, has been cowered into submission by the solar industry, and they're being sold basically a bill of goods. What do you say?
Well, I beg to differ with Mr. Bolick, and he's just flat wrong, and he has been wrong about this case all along. It's why he's lost now three times in the courts, and why I think, obviously the court case is over, but and hopefully this issue is put to rest. But look, from the standpoint of the law, Mr. Bolick is wrong. From the standpoint of the merits of the issue, he's wrong. I mean, they've always claimed that renewable energy was more expensive. Well, frankly, it's not anymore. And they've also claimed that the commission didn't have the authority to proffer the rules. And it turns out, of course, that we did, which has been upheld in the court. So, I just think that they came at it from the wrong perspective. They and they also never participated in the commission's process, which the court also pointed out. So we'll just have to differ on those points.
12:38 on the Buckmaster Show, and I think we've got a question for you, Chris. Chris Mays, former chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission. You are on with Wayne on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yes, I'm a big fan of solar energy, but it seems that right now it's just not, economically feasible. It needs tax credits and grants and handouts and all that other kind of stuff. And if it was a great idea, don't you think that it could pay for itself? Right now, natural gas is a bargain. And, to discourage the use of natural gas and coal in this country, which we have a lot of, seems to me to be a big mistake.
Okay, thank you, Wayne. Here's Chris Mays.
Well, you know, Wayne, you do have a point with regard to natural gas that it is relatively cheap, but that has not always been the case. It wasn't just 6 years ago that as a corporation commissioner, I was having to pass on huge rate increases to you and every other Arizonan because natural gas was all over the place. It was at $14 per MMBTU, and now it's down at about $3, $3.50. per MMBTU, which is pretty cheap. So the point is the sun, solar energy, is pretty predictable. It costs nothing relative to everything else. It does cost a little bit more right now on the front end to build solar projects and to put solar panels on rooftops. But I guess I would just ask you to recall the fact that there isn't a single form of energy in the United States that wasn't at one point subsidized, and in fact that isn't still subsidized. I mean, you take a look at nuclear. Nuclear would not stand on its own today if we didn't prevent the utilities from being sued or having certain lawsuits brought against them and shielded them from liability. Coal is subsidized today. Natural gas is subsidized today. So the idea is that we decided as a country and as a state that we wanted to incentivize a form of energy that we knew long-term made sense to invest in. And, you know, if you don't believe that we should be investing in certain things that make sense for the country, then I guess, you know, you would say, yeah, let's just go ahead and continue to use a bunch of coal and, you know, do it the same old way we've been doing it forever. But I just don't think that's right. And I agree with you when you said solar makes sense for Arizona.
Chris Mays, let me ask you, what sustainability challenge, since you're dealing with this now every day up at ASU, what challenge really concerns you the most here as you do your work?
Well, you know, a couple of challenges, Bill, concern me the most. I mean, and Wayne touched on it a little bit, which is the fact that we have got to continue to invest in renewables such that we drive the cost of them down. What we're aiming for is to try to get renewable energy to what's called grid parity so that it basically costs the same thing to build a renewable energy plant as it does to build a coal plant or a natural gas plant. And we got to drive toward that goal as a country and get it done as quickly as we can so that, you know, we can maintain, we can get to the point where we have a sustainable portfolio of energy both in Arizona and the rest of the country. And then, of course, you know, I think there are huge concerns about financing right now out there. There's still a credit crunch out there, so folks who want to do renewables sometimes aren't able to do it, and so that we got to get the markets back in a healthy condition, and also we got to make sure that we keep our eye on the ball. I mean, I'm real concerned about a trend, frankly, in my own party among Republicans to turn against renewables, which is very sad to me because I think Republicans have always supported renewable energy and supported the fact that it is a way for us to be a more secure country. So we got to make sure that we maintain support for this and that everybody understands the importance of it.
And so many times the Republican talking point, and I'm generalizing here, but it seems to be, Chris Mays, and you are a Republican,
yes,
the talking point has been when it comes to solar is we cannot afford it.
Yeah, and that's just not right anymore. I mean, there are states right now that have already reached grid parity for solar. I mean, those are the states that have traditionally higher utility rates, Bill. So California, solar is either at grid parity or very, very close to it. So it is not more expensive in some states. And we are getting so close to it in other states. I mean, we really think we are about 5 to 7 years away from it. So if we are 5 years away from the point where it makes total economic sense for Bill Buckmaster and Chris Mays and every other Arizonan to put solar panels on the rooftop and to be able to generate their own electricity, why wouldn't we drive toward that objective? Why would we give up now? It would just be so sad. And I think we're so much closer than we were in the 1970s. So I guess I don't agree with some in my own party on that talking point.
Okay. Chris Mays, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. It's great talking with you again, and have fun up there at ASU.
Thanks, Bill. It's good to be with you again.
Thanks a lot. That's Chris Mays, former chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission. We're going to talk a little bit about art history next, and there is a fantastic new book about a mid-20th century Navajo artist. We'll be talking with the two co-authors of that book as we continue on the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, The Voice. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
It's 12:48 on the Buckmaster Show. An authoritative biography of important mid-20th century Navajo artist Quincy Tohoma is now out. The book is titled Quincy Tohoma, The Life and Legacy of a Navajo Artist. It features more than 260 color images, complemented by the dramatic story of his life. The book, which was 13 years in the making, is co-authored by Tucson writer Vera Marie Badishier. I know her as AKA Bunny Badishier. I don't think I've ever had to say your real first name, Bunny Badishier.
I lead two lives.
Okay, is that what's going on? And your work, of course, has appeared in many publications, including Arizona Highways and National Geographic Traveler. Bunny's co-author is also with us, Charnel Havens, who lives in Virginia. She's an award-winning photographer and real estate agent. She has devoted time throughout the last 15 years to pursuing her passion, which is paying tribute to the life and legacy of this gifted Navajo artist, Quincy Tohoma. Ladies, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Charnel, we'll begin with you. What was your attraction? When did you first hear about Quincy Tohoma?
When I was about 13, my aunt came back with five of his paintings in Ohio, and they were on her wall for 40 years. So I lived with them for 40 years, fell in love with them, and became attached to them.
And how about you, Bunny Badishier? When did you first become acquainted with Quincy Tohoma?
Although I had worked with Indian art when I lived in Scottsdale and was always interested in it, I really had not heard of Quincy Tohoma until Charnel introduced me.
What was it about this particular artist that resonated with you? I begin with Charnel.
There was something spiritual about his paintings. His landscapes were absolutely gorgeous, and his people just came to life. His buffalo hunts were something to just fall in love with. So I did, and I wanted to know more about the man behind the scenes.
Bunny, his work just really evokes, and I'm looking at the cover here of Quincy Tohoma, The Life and Legacy of a Navajo Artist, and it's an image of a Native American involved. He's on horseback, and he's in the buffalo chase. I think the thing that really attracts me to this artist, the action sequences and the movement that he captures.
Yes, he does an amazing job of that, and he loved to paint warriors, horses, buffalo. It was what he pictured as the past of his people. But he also had a quieter side, and he painted some beautiful paintings of Navajo mothers and children, quiet little deer and antelopes, and so he had a very wide scope.
Charnel, what was his life? He had a rather short life, I guess you could say a tragic life.
He was 38 when he died in 1956, and he died as a consequence of alcoholism. As a young man, he was brought off the reservation to be put into the Indian school system, and from then he had many ups and downs, which are all covered in the book, of course.
Bunny Badishier, how difficult was it to recreate and find the images that his work, was it widely available or was it difficult to find?
Well, Quincy Tohoma's work is still being sold at auction and in specialist Indian art stores. But a good half of the paintings that are in this book are actually from private homes and have never been seen in public before. Several years ago, Charnel started a website for Quincy Tohoma, and then later we started a blog for Quincy Tohoma, which is called tohomablog.com, and people just poured in with messages about, my uncle had a painting by Quincy Tohoma, my grandmother owned one, I grew up with it. And so we got images of those paintings, which Charnel usually photographed, and we got the stories behind those paintings.
What period of time of the, we're talking mid-20th century, Charnel?
Yes. He started painting actually in 1932. That's the earliest that we have on record. So he was in about the fifth grade in school at that time, and he painted until he died in 1956.
Charnel, was he a self-taught artist, or did he learn in school, or how did that work?
He got the basics when he was at the Santa Fe Indian School from Dorothy Dunn, who was quite an acclaimed art teacher, and she founded the studio from which many, many wonderful Indian artists came.
Bunny Badishier, his work seems to be almost, it's difficult to categorize it, comparing his work to other artists of the time. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. You can see an influence from other artists in certain individual paintings, but he did definitely break new ground. Early on, Quincy was influenced by the other students at the Navajo, both Navajo, Pueblo, and Plains Indians that he met at the Indian school. And then later in life, and even up to today, he has influenced other Indian artists. Our last chapter in the Quincy Tohoma book is current day artists talking about how they were influenced by Quincy Tohoma.
You know, is this the right word, perhaps, Bunny or Charnel? It looks almost, some of these pieces, I'm looking at a work called Grand Canyon Beauty, and it really is a beautiful piece. It's dated 1953. It seems modernist. Would that be a good characterization of the painting?
In a sense, he did experiment with color and with composition, but he never departed into like abstract art. He didn't get to that point. That came along among Indian artists in the 1960s.
So this would be considered more of a realist? How do you characterize the work?
Well, a lot of people call it traditional art, which is a misnomer because it's not traditional, but it is what was taught by non-Indians to the young Indian students.
The book is called Quincy Tohoma, The Life and Legacy of a Navajo Artist. Charnel Havens and Bunny Badisher are the co-authors. Charnel, how difficult was it putting this project together? And by the way, you found a publisher who really does care because the reproductions are fantastic.
Thank you.
I think you had something to do with some of these images, correct?
I did. I photographed quite a few of them.
Terrific.
But with regard to the difficulty, if Bunny and I, either one, had had thin skins and had not been determined Ohio-born women, we would have quit a long time ago.
Both of you, I believe, were sorority sisters at Columbus at the Ohio State University.
We were.
And kept in touch and then developed this common ground for Quincy Tohoma.
Yes, we did. We did. When you ask how difficult
yes.
it was, there are very few records, written records, of a lot of things like births. And so we actually didn't learn the situation of his birth until we were into 7 years of the research.
Are any museums showing his work, or is this book maybe one of the few places you can find his work?
Many of the major museums that carry American Indian art have his work. The Herd has, I believe, 19 paintings. That's in Phoenix. There are many, many museums. Well, the Smithsonian National Museum of the American Indian has quite a few also.
Arizona State Museum
Tucson
has some of his paintings, and they also have about 50 small paintings that he did while he was a student.
Right.
What was the medium that he worked in? Mainly watercolor?
Watercolors.
It was mainly watercolor.
Exclusively.
It was exclusively watercolor.
Mm-hmm, right.
And there are the few pencil drawings in here, but early
That's
in
right.
his career.
We were very privileged to find a sketchbook, 1943 and 44, the only one that we've ever seen. And in it, there was one in particular that we really loved. It was of a baby antelope. And totally by coincidence, I have the completed painting that matches that.
Where did you find that? Through an auction or just?
No, actually through our website and email, and it led us to a gentleman in New York, in the New Jersey area, who had it.
And again, the website?
The website itself is tahoma.info.
That's T-A-H-O-M-A.
Right, and the blog is tahomablog.com.
And the book is available where?
The book is available at independent bookstores, museums, and it is available on our website, on our blog and website.
And you two have a book signing this afternoon, I believe, right?
We do. People can come down to El Charo Cafe, to the patio, between 3 and 5, and say hi to us. And we're up in Scottsdale on Thursday at Guidon Books.
And a native, what was the magazine that just said this would be a great Christmas gift?
Native Peoples Magazine featured it as one of their recommendations for Christmas presents.
I think that is a terrific recommendation. It is a beautiful book. And again, the book is Quincy Tohoma, that's T-H-H-O-M-A, The Life and Legacy of a Navajo Artist. Charnel Havens and Bunny Badisher are the co-authors.
Actually, Vera Marie Badisher.
Vera Marie Badisher. Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon. Good luck with the book signing.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday edition. Hope you enjoyed it. We will be back with you noon to one live right here on KVOI, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.